All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 9, once again. Last week, I preached from this passage of Scripture, and I would like to do it again. Not the same sermon, but while I was working on the sermon for last Sunday night, I had the idea for the sermon tonight. And so I want to have you turn once again to the 9th chapter of Acts. This is where the Apostle Paul got saved. And if you remember, in verse 1, he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. And in verse 2 it says, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, that's the way of Christ, all right, the way of Christ, if he found any of this way, that whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? Now again, I remind you that Paul at this point, or Saul as he is called here, was not sure who it was that was speaking to him, but whoever it was, with what he just experienced, with the light shining from heaven and being knocked to the earth, whoever it was, he was ready and willing to serve him. And then if you look down at verse 6, and here's my text verse. It says, and he, trembling, I suspect he would have been, don't you? And he, trembling and astonished, and I expect he would have been astonished as well, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now watch this carefully. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city. What city? Damascus, of course. He was almost there. And so the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city. Watch this now. And it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, that struck me, and I've been thinking about it ever since when we were on vacation. And so tonight, I thought that I would speak to you from that phrase, or from that part, that sentence, where the Lord said to him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. I'm going to entitle the message tonight, The Revelation of Duty. The Revelation of Duty. Let's pray together and end the message. Our Father, thank you for the beautiful music tonight. Thank you for the spirit that is in the Church of the Open Door tonight. And I pray that you will bless us richly now as we give our attention to the Word of God. May the Holy Spirit use the message tonight to help us. Father, I pray that you will help me to say tonight what I need to say. And I know that there are many Christians here tonight who can benefit from the message. So, Father, give us ears to hear. And I just, as best as I know how, submit myself to you and pray that you will use me for your honor and your glory this evening. Speak to hearts now, we pray, in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, if you remember last Sunday night, I spoke to you from the 8th verse of this chapter. And in the 8th verse, it says that Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. He saw nothing when his eyes were opened. I want us to go back tonight to the 6th verse, and I want you to look at the little phrase, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now notice that this statement was spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, spoken to Saul's bold question when he saw the glory of the Lord so bright that it knocked him to the ground. He cried out and said, "What wilt thou have me to do?" And I want you to see, or what I want you to see, is the Lord did not reveal his entire plan for Saul and his life at this point. Instead, the Lord said to him, "You get up and you continue on in the direction that you were going. You go into the city, and there, then will I reveal to you what I want you to do for me." You see, Paul, probably like us, was hoping that the Lord would, at that very moment, make his future plans just as clear as they could be. I have no doubt but what Paul was just expecting the Lord to tell him at that moment everything that he wanted him to do. Show me what you want me to do. That's the impetus of what he is saying. Show me what you want me to do, and I will do it. I mean, that's what Paul was saying to the Lord right there. Whoever you are, Lord, tell me what you want me to do, and I'll do it. You have showed me. I know that whoever you are, you're the Lord. You're the Lord of all. But as with Paul, I have learned through the years that the Lord seldom works in that way. Think of it this way. Instead of giant steps, we are usually led to take baby steps. And we gradually learn where the Lord wants us and what the Lord wants us to do for him. Now, Paul, think about it. Paul here got saved in an instant, but he had to gradually learn what was the will of God for his life. Step by step, from duty to duty, Paul found out that illumination of the soul is different from illumination of the will of God for your life. Each step, each duty, each door that is set before you, you must faithfully go through that door and perform along the road to service for the Lord. And I think the Lord has not changed his way of using us. There is a gradual revelation in the service of the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. You can be saved in an instant. But it takes faithfulness and it takes obedience for the Lord to reveal to you where and what he wants you to be. Now, let's think about this thought tonight. The first thing first area in which I want to apply this, I think, number one, this lesson is the key to finding God's will for your life. When you get saved, you can be sure the Lord has something that he wants you to do for him. But Christian, if you don't get anything that I say tonight, please, please get this next thought, and hide it in your heart. We need to realize that the next duty, the next obligation, the next responsibility, the next duty is the key to everything. When the future is dark to us, as it was to Paul, when we cannot discern what the Lord wants us to do, when we want to be used but cannot find the road, as was the case with Paul, always for us, as it was for the great apostle, there is a present and commanded duty laying right in front of us upon which everything will hinge. Did you catch that? Now, it was a mouthful, but I hope you got it. And I want you to notice it is often the very simple, lowly duty that causes most folks to stumble. Isn't that true? It is very often the simple, lowly duty that causes most Christians to stumble. If the voice that called to us said that we were to do some huge, big, grandiose, showy thing, we would be all over that in a minute. But we would fall flat on our face in the process. But the voice on the Damascus Road did not tell Paul all that was coming. The voice on the Damascus Road simply said to him to do one little simple thing. Arise and go in to the city. And I submit to you folks that if Paul had not gone, he would never have learned his mission in life. He learned it by unquestioning acceptance of the first simple, non-demanding, basic, easy, little thing that the Lord asked him to do. And that is how each of us will find God's will and discover what the Lord wants from us. I'm saying, folks, God reveals gradually. Service is gradually given. Duty is gradually shown. Do the thing that is demanded now. Do the thing that God wants now. And vision will come out of that. I got saved and I started reading my Bible like my preacher said. He said, "You read this Bible every day." I said, "Yes, sir." And I went home and I started reading my Bible. And shortly after that, within weeks, the youth pastor of the church took an interest in me and my brother and the people, some of the guys that I was bringing to church from our neighborhood who were getting saved. And he taught us how to win souls to Christ. And so we started coming out on Tuesday night and going to visitation and visiting all over the area. And winning folks to the Lord. And then I went to Bible college. And then I got kicked out of Bible college. And then I went back to Bible college and graduated from Bible college. And then the next thing I know, Karen and I are pastoring a church. You see, it goes gradually. We started with nothing. In our first little church, we had nothing, literally nothing. We went to look for a house, and the guy said, "This is a college town, and you're coming in March, and all of the apartments and all of the housing is taken. There is nothing here." And I said, "Sir, you don't understand. The Lord has sent us here. And there is one place. And so I am depending on you to find that one place. My wife and I are going to go up to the diner and eat lunch, and we'll be back after lunch. If you will look, there is one place, if you will look. We went and ate lunch, came back, and when I walked in, he said, "Well, I found it." And I said, "See, I told you there was one." "Well, this is the only thing in the whole county." I said, "We'll take it." He said, "You haven't even looked at it yet." I said, "Sir, there's nothing else. We'll take it." And we did. And just going a step at a time is how it works. And you start at the bottom. You start at the beginning. And now I have the great honor and privilege to pastor all of you wonderful folks. And that's how it works. That's how it works. Step by step. Doing the next step is the key. There's a second thing I want you to consider. Secondly, I want you to notice the new vision was connected to the old environment. The new direction, if you will, the new purpose, if you will, was connected to the old environment. Now, don't miss this. Paul got saved and he became a new creature in Christ. But notice here that the Lord told him that he had to step out on the old familiar road. It was on the Damascus Road where Paul met the Lord. It is on the Damascus Road where Paul was knocked to the ground. And it was on the Damascus Road where Paul got saved. But once saved, the same Lord who saved him told him to get up and get back on the same road. It was the same town to which he was headed when he met the Lord that the Lord then turned right around and sent him to. So notice the new purpose, the new vision, the new goal, the new will was connected to the old environment. Now, was it not to Damascus where Paul was headed? Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And to Damascus, Paul had to keep going. There was no new direction that he was given. And folks, I think this is a lesson that we need to learn if we're going to find what is God's will for our lives. You know, it would be nice if once we got saved, we could immediately just leave the world and check in to a huge, nice, walled city that had everything we needed and nothing, nobody else there except for saved and sanctified people. I mean, we wouldn't have to worry about the world's influencing us. We wouldn't have to worry about temptation. We wouldn't have to worry about the world. None of it would be there. You would not have to go back to work and be around those heathens in your office. I mean, wouldn't that be nice? But that's not how it works, is it? That's not how it works. It does not work that way. Paul was on the road to Damascus, but he got saved on that road, and then the voice of the Lord spoke to him and commanded that he get right back up and get right back on the road and go right straight into the same city which he was headed to. You see, on the road to duty, on the road to obedience, we still have to deal with this old world. Now, it'd be nice if we could, you know, leave the world once we get saved. It would be nice. But that's not how it works. And what I want you to see here is that when he got up, he was sent on the same road into the city. You know, when I got saved, my old friends all of a sudden decided they wanted nothing to do with me. I didn't have to make the decision. They made it. And I'm glad they did. I'm glad they did. I didn't know any better. I told them on Monday morning that I had gotten saved in church on Sunday. And I remember one of them said, "Saved?" I said, "Yes." "From what?" he said. And I said, "From hell, I guess." And he said, "Well, we're all going there, so we'll keep each other company." That's the way the world thinks. That's no big deal. Everybody else will be there. And one of them laughed when I said that I got saved. And one of them laughed and he said, as he walked by and slapped me on the shoulder, he said, "We'll get that out of you on Friday night." Well, I want you to know there's been 44 years of Friday nights that have passed, and that salvation is still in me. Amen. It's still in me. In the step-by-step, gradual, simply doing the next thing, walk of obedience, you have to walk on the same old path of life. But here's the neat thing. Now that you're saved, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own. You see, you got somebody walking with you now that will help you along the way. And then there's a third thing I want you to see. Number three, I want you to notice, as he followed God's command, God led him into his perfect will for his life. As he was obedient. Because you see, we read here that Paul did go into the city. He did what the voice of the Lord asked him to do. He went into the city and he was so spiritually excited that he didn't eat for 3 days. And then God spoke to a guy by the name of Ananias. You can read about him in verse 13, or verse 10 through 13. You can read about Ananias there, and Ananias was a believer, and God told Ananias, "You go to Paul, you go to Saul, and help him." And so Ananias obeyed. He did what God asked him to do. So look at verse 18. Paul was then baptized. That's what you ought to do after you get saved. You ought to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. He got baptized in verse 18, and then he was filled with the Holy Ghost in verse 17. And then if you look at verse 20, Paul, newly saved, it's only been a couple of days since he's been saved, and in verse 20, he stands up and preaches his first sermon. Now, I don't think God would have trusted me to preach a week after I was saved. As a matter of fact, I know that the Lord could not have trusted me to preach a week after I was saved. But he could Paul. And Paul started preaching. But the key was to do the next duty. I have no doubt there are folks right here tonight who wish with all their hearts that the Lord would reveal to you the big way that God is going to use you. I'm sure there is. I have no doubt that there are several folks sitting right here tonight and that you wish you knew that. But folks, that's not how the Lord works in our lives. The key for God using Paul was when the Lord Jesus told him to arise and go into the city, and then he did what he was asked to do. And that's the key. The next thing, the next duty, the next responsibility. Paul would eventually go on, and you've read the rest of the book of Acts, you know Paul's history. He would eventually go on and do more for the Lord than probably any man has ever done. The Lord told Ananias in verse 16 that Paul was a chosen vessel unto the Lord, and that he would bear the name of Christ to the Gentiles, and that he would bear the name of Christ before kings and to the Jews that were scattered all over the Middle East and all over Southwest Asia and all over Southeastern Europe. But all of this did not happen immediately. It did not happen in an instant. It took several years for Saul to become Paul. You know, we read in the book of Galatians where Paul said that after he got saved and after he barely escaped Damascus, because when he got up in verse 20 and started preaching, he offended a lot of folks. And they sought to kill him. And they had to sneak him out of town to keep him from being killed. But we learn in Galatians that the Apostle Paul was sent out into the desert for 3 years, where he was schooled by the Holy Spirit himself. You see, the point is, God had to equip his servant. God had to equip him. Now, I've told you this before. When by being kicked out of school my senior year, I had to sit out from October until the following September, and then I had to go back and complete a whole year. That just messed up all of our plans. But I wasn't ready to pastor a church, and God knew it. I had to be schooled. I had to go learn some lessons. And one of the hardest lessons I learned was a 22-year-old know-it-all who went back to school, who checked in and was told, "You need to go to the dean of men's office immediately. Do not pass go and do not collect $200. Just go to the dean's office now." So I turned around and I went to the dean's office and I got this little sheet of instruction that said what I could and could not do. Now, what I could do was breathe. What I could not do was anything else. No sports, no work, no dating. No, nothing. I could not go off campus without written permission, and I had to have somebody with me when I went off campus for one whole semester. I was 22 years old, had my own car, and couldn't use it. You say, "What'd you do?" I put a smile on my face. I called my dad and I said, "Dad, I can't do this." He said, "Yes, you can." I said, "No, I can't." He said, "Yes, you can." I said, "But Dad, you don't understand." He said, "No, son, I was in the Marine Corps. Explain it to me." I said, "Never mind. Day at a time. Day at a time." By the time second semester rolled around, I just knew, because I had all this experience. I would go out on the weekends, my sophomore year and junior year, I would go out on the weekends with the karate team and preach. Preached in all kinds of churches and youth rallies and, man, you name it. We went out just about every weekend. And then I got to work with Glenn Matthews. So I'm teaching and preaching. Oh, my, I had experience. And I had Glenn as a teacher. I just knew that a church of about 500 to 700 was going to call me to be their pastor. The day I graduated from school, I would just leave college and go right straight to pastoring a church running several hundred people. And you know what? Nobody wanted me. Go figure. And Karen and I ended up in Gilmer County, West Virginia. Population 4,000 in the entire county. Maybe. Little old town called Glenville. And that's where we ended up. Our first Sunday, we had 36. 36 people. But you go step at a time. Step at a time. You do today what you're supposed to do. And every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night, I preached to those people as hard and as strong as I could preach. And the Lord just kept unveiling more of what He wanted me to do. And that's how the will of God works. The point is, you be faithful in the place where God has you tonight. Tonight. And in your faithfulness, there will be a revelation of duty. Let me ask you this. Has the Lord given you a family? Then you be faithful to that family. Love them. Give them your time. Give them your commitment. Are you walking in duty as a father and taking care of your family? Are you walking in duty as a mother and taking care of your family? Has the Lord given you a Sunday school class? You say, well, my class is small. Why don't you grow it and make it big? Go out and visit. Knock on doors. Make phone calls. Has God given you a bus route? Then be faithful in that bus route. Has the Lord laid a ministry or a part of a ministry at your feet? Then be faithful in the duty that He has commanded you to do. As we give our best to what we have been given and blessed with, we will find our vision increase. And that's exactly how it worked with Paul, and that's exactly how it will work with you and with me. That next duty. You see, if we were more concerned with what is the next duty, if we were more concerned about, Lord, what's next, instead of 5 years or 10 years or where am I going to be and how many people are going to love me and how many people are going to know my name, if we were more concerned with today's obligations, then we would get over here a whole lot quicker. Oh, may God help us to see. Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. I'm sure Paul was disappointed. But Lord, I want to know now. No, get up and go. Well, all right. So he got up and he went. And it was revealed. It worked that way with Paul, and it works that way with us.